Five, stand and face the cross as it enters the sanctuary. Service 3, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for
your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take the insert for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost and chant the introit.
I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments.
I rejoice at your word, like one who finds grace for. Seven times
Thank you.
from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse of the reading of the Holy Gospel.
According to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he's come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, dress properly. Serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink.' Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Lord. received from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing the hymn of the day, number 587. You may be seated. Life of Jesus, a parable,
or a teaching with a well-defined theme or point Jesus wishes to convey to us through his word. Today's gospel lesson from the 17th chapter of Luke is not just one teaching about discipleship, but a triad of teachings. Jesus' teachings about discipleship focus on three things: staying out of the way of the gospel, faith, and service. Staying out of the way of the gospel means not impeding the work of God and the forgiveness which comes through his word. Jesus gives a warning of woe to anyone who would impede his work by tempting one of his little children to sin. To our text. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin." Temptations to sin are sure to come because we live in a world cursed by sin. People who are under the power of the devil will always place stumbling blocks in front of Christians, attempting to get us to deny our faith in Christ. Jesus says these people will receive woe for being agents of the devil. Woe is the horror of impending future destruction, an eternity in hell without God. Temptations to sin, stumbling blocks, come in many forms. It's a stumbling block when people would have you doubt Jesus is the promised Messiah. The Jews consider it scandalous to believe Jesus is the Christ, but still claim God is their Father. But Scripture says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father." Atheists, people who don't believe in God, also deny Jesus is the Christ. Both Jews and atheists alike will go to hell if they do not repent and believe that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Unbelievers stumble over Jesus to their destruction. But we who believe in Jesus receive blessing, the forgiveness of all sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. It's a stumbling block when someone wants you to deny there is only one God and faith in Jesus as God is the only way to heaven. There are many religions which accept many gods and will even accept Jesus as a God, but not the living God. Anyone who teaches you can worship more than one God is tempting you to sin, to deny the first commandment, which says, "You shall have no other gods." Now, there are even some so-called Christian denominations which teach faith in Jesus is but one of many ways to heaven, so they worship with other religions. Such teaching is false, and such worship practices are to be rejected. For Scripture says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" None. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Stumbling blocks, temptations to sin, can even come in the name of Christ. There are many who preach in the name of Jesus, but who do not preach the full and free gospel. They preach in the name of Jesus, but command people to add their own works, polluting the faith. We have an example of this in Galatians. They heard preaching in the name of Jesus, but then were commanded to circumcise also. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Any teaching which attempts to add to the work of Jesus to effect salvation is a stumbling block a temptation to sin. If someone tells you Jesus paid it all, but he still requires acts of obedience from you, that preacher is preaching law, not gospel. Good works are a fruit of the Spirit, not a prerequisite for faith. If someone tells you that your baptism as an infant didn't do anything and that you need to be rebaptized as an adult, that preacher is tempting you to sin and to deny the ancient faith we just confessed in the Nicene Creed when we said, "I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins." Baptism is a work of God, and anyone who teaches you otherwise is tempting you to deny the Word of God. Well, little ones of the flock of God, Jesus gives warning of woe to false teachers because he cares for you. He is your rock and salvation, your fortress when you are battered by these temptations of the devil. But Jesus has instructions for us also. Jesus says, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." When someone sins, a word of rebuke is to be given to them, the word of the law. But if there is repentance, the word of forgiveness, the word of the gospel, is to quickly follow. And the word of rebuke is not to be given harshly, but simply spoken in love, because it's the truth. If the sinner is repentant, the word of forgiveness is to be given in a spirit of gentleness, for we are to watch ourselves also, lest we too be tempted. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We pray to be forgiven in the same way we forgive. As Christians, we forgive because we have been forgiven in Christ. But do we really forgive if somebody sins against us 7 times? Yep, that's what Jesus says. The idea isn't to get stuck on the number 7 as though there's no forgiveness for sin number 8. But rather to emphasize forgiveness is central to being a Christian, so it's ongoing. Christ poured out his blood for us on the cross to give us his forgiveness. You are forgiven because the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin, and you stand faultless before the Father because of his love for you. Jesus calls on us to stay out of the way of the gospel and to forgive our brother in the same way, even if we have been sinned against very much. But it can be hard to forgive, especially if you've been sinned against through abuse, violence, or unspeakable acts in the body. But every repentant sinner should receive forgiveness for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ for them. The words "forgive" and "forget" are often used together. And it is that way with God. God forgives your sin for the sake of Christ, and your sin is cast into the sea and remembered no more. But that doesn't mean there aren't earthly consequences for sin. Abusive, violent behavior is punished under the law of the state. Relationships may never be the same. And to be clear, forgiveness does not mean that a battered wife has to live with a violent husband, or that an abuser should be given supervision of children. But forgiveness does mean bitterness of heart is replaced by compassion in Christ for the one who offended you. Such love and forgiveness comes through prayer, faith in God, and the work of the Holy Spirit. The apostles recognized the necessity of faith for such forgiveness, so they said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Notice how Jesus answered them. God adds to our faith by proclaiming the greatness and benefit of it. Jesus could have said, you want more faith? Fine, I'll give you more faith. That's not too hard for him. But rather than simply promising an increase of faith, Jesus proclaims what faith does. Even the smallest faith, like that of a tiny mustard seed, does great things. A mulberry tree has a deep, powerful root system. So to uproot a mulberry tree simply by speaking words in faith would be a great miracle. Even more, the mulberry tree won't simply be cast into the sea, but rather be planted. So what a miracle it would be for a tree to stay upright and grow while in the ocean. The Word of God works miracles. The Word of God works a miracle by giving us faith when He is proclaimed. We read in the book of Romans, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When Jesus speaks and causes us to hear his words, he is increasing our faith. When Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, he is building up your faith so you have confidence. You have a kingly inheritance by the blood of the Son of God who died and lives again for you. We serve Jesus and his body, the church, in thankfulness for the great gifts and benefits he gives us through faith. Service is a thankless task done in humility. Jesus uses the example of a servant doing his daily work to show the apostles service doesn't get accolades or earn merit points. A servant who was plowing the field or keeping sheep doesn't just come right in and eat. No. The servant prepares supper, dresses properly, and serves the master first. No thanks is given because it's part of the job. It's the expectation. Afterward, the servant is invited to eat and to drink. The apostles are shown this picture so they will see how they will have to labor for the sake of Christ. They will have to plow the fields and plant the seeds that are the word of God. They will shepherd the flock. They will be clothed upon with the righteousness of God for service. And they will serve the church with natural needs, food and drink, but most importantly with word and sacrament. Pastors today continue this apostolic service with the support of deacons, deaconesses, and organizations such as the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Today, we observe the service of the LWML to the world. Whether in mission and outreach to the least of these in the K.I. Sawyer community in this country, or in Mercy Medical Care to Tanzania, Lutheran women in mission proclaim Christ through their service to others. And as wonderful as this work is, even it is thankless service done in humility. None of us who serve the church have any reason to think we merit anything, because Jesus says, so you also, when you have done all that you are commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. We are unworthy, but our works are sanctified by the Lamb who was slain, who is worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has throughout history provided apostles and disciples to distribute his gifts to you and me, his church. As we approach Reformation Day, we give thanks for disciples such as Martin Luther, who let the gospel have free course in faith and service. Our Lutheran confessions in the Book of Concord were written in both German and Latin. So So it isn't surprising Dr. Luther's last words were a mix of both languages when he wrote these humble words. Wir sind alle Bettler, hoc est verum. We are all beggars. This is true. Thanks be to God, we aren't beggars with empty hands. Our hands grasp by faith all the heavenly riches God has given to us by the death and resurrection of the most humble and faithful servant, Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory forever. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Page 192, we stand to sing the offertory.
Please take the record of fellowship pad at the end of the pew, tear off a sheet to fill out, and hand it to the folks next to you. The completed sheets can be placed in the basket in the narthex as we depart. We gather the offerings. You may be seated.
At this time, please take out the insert for us and with us for LWML Sunday. The prayers begin with the litany on the inside of this insert and then continue with the prayers of the day. Responses in boldface. We stand to pray.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your goodness and love in Christ that sustains us each day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is for us and with us in all things. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our comforter and sustainer of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, we pray our congregation and our life together and witness in the world. Grant us your grace. Strengthen your people through the word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the mission of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League in this congregation and throughout the world, that each person involved would see opportunities to be salt and light to their neighbors, and through various opportunities for mission. Through the faithful gathering of minds, may Lutheran Women in Mission continue to encourage us to put all you have given us into the mission of reaching the lost. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Sanctify our homes with your presence, reminding us that nothing can separate us from your love. Unite the members of all families in love toward you and each other. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray together.
In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have. And in obedience to his call for workers in the harvest fields, we pledge him our willing service wherever and whenever he has need of us. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for him, our feet to go on his errands, our voice to sing his praises, our lips to proclaim his redeeming love, our silver and our gold to extend his kingdom, our will to do his will, and every hour of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with him. Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, receive our thanks, for you preserve the word in this world of uncertainty, confusion, and lies. Grant us to love your law and rejoice in your promises continually, that we may live in your peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, bless our congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church in Norman, and all the congregations in our circuit, synod, and districts. Also bless Pastor Dr. Walter Steele and his wife Robin as they serve in Matanga School in Kenya. May we in our holy callings be emboldened by the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthened by your power to courageously suffer for the gospel and guard the good deposit entrusted to us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, Timothy learned of Christ's love from his faithful mother, grandmother, Lois, and his faithful mother, Eunice. Bless all faithful parents, grandparents, and families in our parish to bear witness to Christ for their children. This week, bless Joni Eisenbrown, Mike Stecker, Celia Huntley, and Andrew Hartman, Brett Hollinsworth, Alan Rohde, Kim Darmody, and Gabriel Hartman as they celebrate their birthdays, and Peter and Kate Bruckner as they celebrate their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, preserve us from paralyzed law and perverted justice in our nation and country. Strengthen those whom you've placed in authority to govern wisely, that we may live free of strife and contention. Bless, O Lord, all those who defend our freedoms, Mike Gobble, Emily Shelton, Alice Laffin, Ricardo Pataga, Eli Wiley, Courtney Tate, and Danny Green. Bless all the police and firefighters who keep us safe. And continue, O Lord, to be with all the victims of the tornadoes in Georgia and South Carolina throughout all our country, Rebecca Weimeyer, and all people and our family and friends. Grant them recovery from these tornadoes and weather. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all grace, we remember those who suffer illness and affliction. We grant healing, O Lord, to Pastor Dwayne Jalis, Scott Miller, Jeannie Brinketter, Wayne Brasowski, Candy Darmody, Lindsay Shem, Kay Coffey, and Jay Gallagher. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive our thanks for calling us for the gospel. Grant that we may rejoice to labor in service until you gather us to your banquet table in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Service of Sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Truly good right and sanitary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
writing, letter of the Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, the body and soul of the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
with Diminished, page 199. We stand to sing.
His countenance upon you and give you peace.